Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out all of my podcasts. You can sign up for the mailing list, which you goddamn should sign up for the goddamn mailing list, because let me tell you something. If you're on the mailing list, I'm not going to spam you with annoying things. I'm actually going to send you useful information to improve your sex life and give you a report. Five biggest mistakes you're making in bed. We have one for men, one for women. So go there, sign up, and then also check out everything. And follow me on Facebook and Twitter, Sex with Emily. So I have a very special guest in the studio today. I have tonight, I love that it's night here.
It's always
Sex
night on the
Nerd
internet.
Sandra.
Hi.
Also known as Sandra Doherty and also known as Sex Nerd Sandra.
Hello.
She is a podcaster. She's got an amazing podcast on iTunes. You can check it out. You probably just search for sex. I bet both of our podcasts come up.
Yeah, Sex Nerd.
Sex Nerd.
Yeah.
Or just Sex Nerd. Search for that. And I was recently on your podcast, which was just posted today, so everyone can check that out, which I haven't listened to it yet, but it was so fun.
Oh, my God. It was great to have you on, talking about love and stuff.
I love it.
All
the
feelings.
Talking about love. It was deep and emotional. Not like I get on here. Sometimes I'm more, no. Sometimes I talk about emotions, and Anderson's here with me, too.
Hi.
Hi, Anderson.
Wow.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Oh, good. I want to know what you told your parents about me for real and how they reacted.
Yeah, I had
Anderson had lunch with his parents and told them that he's doing work with me. So you're saying that they're cool with it, but people are sort of weird about sex sometimes.
No, you know what it was is my mom was talking about candles. And then I'm like, oh, and then I had already said too much before I realized what I was talking about. But I wanted to tell her about how cool your candle is.
Oh, right.
And this isn't a spot or anything that we planned
no,
or anything.
No, right.
Just, that's how it came up. And then right. I realized I was going down this path to talk to my mom about a sexual candle. So right. I started from the beginning, which is working with you.
Got it. I understand. You had to work backwards. It's not a sexual, it's a massage candle.
My mom would love you, though. My mom, for Halloween, she went to West Hollywood for the big parade
that
they had.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, my mom's that kind of lady.
Oh,
she's kick-ass.
I love your mom. Yeah. I want to meet her. That's so fun. Yeah, Hollywood was crazy. I didn't even really want to be there. But I know a lot of people do like to be there. Did you do anything fun for Halloween?
Ooh, did I? I go blank because there was a zombie apocalypse party. I was dressed as Frida Kahlo for like the end of it. There was a lot of unibrows going on in my
Really?
Life.
A lot of unibrows?
Yeah, apparently it's scarier than zombie makeup for people.
Unibrow?
Yeah.
I guess it can be.
Yeah, everyone's face looking at me. It was really interesting too.
Yeah, that is funny. They're like, I don't know what to do with that. That's so interesting.
It's really great.
I love that. We're going to be doing a little bit of sex in the news today. And we're going to be reading some emails from the peeps. So thanks for emailing me at feedback@sexwithemily.com. And I love that Sandra's here because she's going to help me answer them today, because I feel like two sex experts are better than one. And we might be taking your calls. So here's the thing. I've got this studio now. I'm doing the show 8:30 to 9:30 Pacific Standard Time on Thursday nights. If you ever want to call in and ask a question, the number is, what the hell is the number? 1-800
Love 191.
1-800-LOVE-191. So you can call in and say hello, which we would love to hear from you anytime.
That doubles as the Love Line number too, because you're on Love Line at night.
I'm on Love Line at night. Oh yes, I do the Love Line radio show from 10 to midnight Pacific Standard Time.
That's so cool.
I know, it's in different cities, so it is a syndicated show, but you can also watch it and listen to it, lovelineshow.com, every night, 5 nights a week, which is pretty friggin' exciting. So, okay, a little bit of Sex and the News, Sandra, before we get into to your life and how you got involved in this crazy sex world, because I need to know. But so there was a study that came out this week, and everyone's like, I've been emailed about it. It was like in the New York Times picked it up. And it says that, and for me, it's like big friggin' deal, not a shock, but I guess for a lot of people it is. Here's the study. It shows that women are less likely to orgasm during casual sex. Whereas,
duh.
Women aren't even likely to orgasm during regular sex, right? I mean, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, if the first night you're with someone, casual sex, I think.
Yeah, I mean, one, we don't. I mean, blowjobs at least are a topic of conversation at birthday parties and, right. and bachelorette parties. So there's at least some socially recognized times when you can kind of talk about playing with dicks, you
right.
know, amongst
exactly.
women.
Exactly.
But when do guys get a chance to talk about when how to pleasure women? Like, there's really no time and it's allowed to learn. It's
only never like, she had this crazy orgasm and right.
Right. And so, and especially because there's a lot of casual sex with people who aren't as experienced or have had that many long-term relationships.
Exactly. I can totally imagine it. And I could also see it's the women too. I could see women, because for me, like, I don't think whenever I'm with someone for the first time, I have orgasms, but I'm not like a highly or easily orgasmic person, which in my next life, I'm hoping with all the work I'm doing in this life that I'll come back as a
closer
a
to nirvana.
Yeah, exactly.
Orgasmic potential.
Don't you think that would be like just what the universe could do for me is let me come back as a highly orgasmic, easy, like my friend like sneezes in an orgasm. Don't your friends like that? Or maybe you're like that. I'm going to kick you out if you are, but.
No, I am. I definitely have several lifetimes left before I start floating. A friend of actually no, she came out with on this on my show, Sex Nerd Sandra, Megan Andiou. Do you know Megan?
I know her name.
She's an East Coast sex ed person. She works with doctors, but she has an orgasm when she hears the click of a camera.
Are you every time?
Yeah.
Why?
It just, there's something really erotic about it. Oh, hello.
Like, just like,
hello.
Me too. I didn't know it. But like, that's crazy. That's the most interesting thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So she can just be in public and like, there's like paparazzi or something.
And she'll totally, I mean, in Rhode Island, there's not
right,
really paparazzi,
true.
But
oh. But whatever it is, a family taking pictures of the pond.
Oh.
I don't know, sound effect.
He's got buttons.
I know, he's got buttons. That's hot. So that's really interesting. Yeah, a lot of people, and my friends, some friends of mine, or people I know, yeah, just when someone touches them, like, or whatever, they think about it, they have orgasms.
Yeah.
But.
Or whisper. Some people are orgasmic when they hear whispering. I forget what it's called, but there's something when people are really reactive to those sorts of sounds.
Yeah. I wish I was. I'm not. I'm too much in my head, I guess. But that's whatever.
I think I'm tense
too. Yeah. I have to relax more right now. But so they said that there's this orgasm discrepancy between men and women within the hookup context. So this is all about people hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
They realize that it's not an ideal situation between men and women, which totally makes sense because I think that women, first of all, you're right. If you're having casual sex, I just think in general, a lot of men just don't know how to please a woman. And if it's the first time you're with someone, you're not going to be like, some men might say, does this feel good? Does this not? Or your partner, men, women, whatever. But
yeah.
I think a lot of times women might not also want to be as open about it. The first time you want it to flow or, you know, I don't know what it is.
I mean, come on. Are we taught to communicate in the bedroom? Yeah. And there's no trust? Like, definitely not. And so it's a whole bunch of people fumbling in the dark, kind of just slamming their bodies together, hoping for the best.
Exactly. And they wait till the person goes to the bathroom so they can look in the wallet and see what their name was. Have you ever done that?
No.
Because you forget who that you're sleeping
no,
with.
No, but.
Has that ever happened to you, Anderson?
No, I'm a perfect gentleman.
Come on, you crazy hook up with someone and then you like forgot who then you went to the
not while I'm still with them, maybe like the next week.
Oh, right. Okay. Got it. Just
even
curious.
Gentlemen can forget names once in a while.
It's true. It happens.
What's your name again?
It's okay.
Me? Oh, don't. I forgot yours too. It's fine. Hi.
Participants, Anderson. Participants were also asked how often they climax during sex in a relationship and then a random encounter. The researchers found that both men and women were more likely to orgasm when they were in a relationship than when they were hooking up with someone, which I think makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went on to, because it's when we're more comfortable, we're more open. And then Debbie Herbenick.
Herbenick. I'm going to go with
she's
it.
She's a sexologist, sex expert, doctor, and she's from the University of Indiana. And Indiana University, and she's always talking right about sex. She's done amazing work with sex, and she talks about the orgasm gap, which is really interesting because it is sort of a gap when you look at when you look at that, the men are more likely to orgasm than the women. And
yeah, there's so much data on that. Just, I mean, it's not just like, oh, girls tend to be like, really, there is a huge gap.
A huge gap, because men take on average like 7 to 8 minutes to orgasm, and women are like 16 and 19 minutes.
Is it 7? I thought it was like 3 to 4 or
yeah,
something.
I've heard different things. It's definitely less than 7, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's less than women.
Yeah, it is less than women. So what do you do about the orgasm gap? Like, how do you make up for it? I think that that's what we try to teach on the show, is that men have to, like, you know, women, whoever you're with, but like, slow it down, foreplay, get your partner going, because there's going to be this gap. And then there's also people who said, what is it? She said, what's your biggest takeaway on the orgasm gap studies? And she said, not enough women are having orgasms. And so women have to be able to communicate more about what they want. And then also another thing about the orgasm gap is Promescent. It is the first FDA-approved treatment for premature ejaculation and for lasting longer in bed.
Huh.
So Promescent plus clitoral stimulation equals female orgasm, because it's a desensitizing spray, but that men can spray on their penis if they are premature ejaculators.
Wait a minute. Is this different than benzocaine and the lidocaine sprays?
Yes, this is different. A little different, yeah. And it's FDA approved, and it's Promescent. You can find it on my website. Click on it. But they it's not even if you're a premature ejaculator 1 minute. It's even if you just want to last a little bit longer, it does not transfer to your partner, and you could last longer. That's another way to help with the orgasm gap.
I think it's also the way people are having sex. Like, yeah. It takes a long time to figure out how to have sex with a woman
exactly.
In a way that will actually give her pleasure.
Right.
So much of it, I mean, there's so much like just banging, like in, out. And I feel like so much of, if you're penetrating a woman, get close to her. Get
right.
Just like go in deeper.
Exactly.
And then just grind. Like get up on her vulva. Right. Get up on there.
Exactly. Get up on there. Write get up
it.
On her clitoris. They don't understand. Take a jackhammer.
Take a salsa class. Learn how to swivel your hips.
Oh, that's a
gosh
great
darn it.
Idea.
Yeah, it's important.
It is important, because men are all stiff and they're not swiveling
yeah,
their hips.
They're
that's
robots.
I don't understand why men. I mean, I guess. What do you think about porn? Do you think a lot of it is because they're learning from porn? Like, what do you hear from your people?
My people, my nerd people, the sex nerd Sandra people. It's so varied, but it never occurs to people that there might be different ways. I mean, I love deconstructing sex and
right.
Figuring out all the little nuances and how to pleasure people and whatnot. But a lot of people don't give it much thought and don't have much information. So
right.
I just think that, yeah, you don't see a whole lot of, I mean, also with porn, you need to have two people who are fairly far away from each other so you can see what's all the juicy stuff in between.
Exactly.
But with real sex, you don't want to, you're not
no.
supposed to be able to see a whole lot.
Exactly.
You're smushing your bodies together and rubbing. So it's, yeah, but it doesn't make for good camera work.
Right. That's what I'm trying to tell you people, that no, that it's visually created so it's stimulating for a man or a woman watching it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that technically is the move that you should be doing. I agree, get closer, grind around, move slow. I always tell guys, go 5 times slower than you think you should.
Yeah, because there's something also, it's like going down the street when you're walking. You absorb, we're designed to absorb information at the rate of walking down the street. So when you're going down the street in a car, you can't, you may not never notice that bakery unless you're walking down that street.
Right.
Like I walked down Fairfax for the first time, like this one section I'd only driven by. And I was like, these are great stores. I had no idea. And so I think when you're touching someone, when you're just running over the skin so fast and over all those
right.
juicy nerve endings, you're not going slow enough to really feel anything.
Exactly. I think everyone has to slow it down and
yeah.
explore each other's erogenous zones.
Take a walk.
There's so many.
Take a walk, guys.
Take a walk. You're so right, though, about walking. And I drive. I'm always driving, and I never stop. I've never walked around LA. I need to do that more often.
There's some really good stuff around here. But
amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just too busy, and I'm driving all the time in my car. That's what you do in Los Angeles, which is a little bit annoying, I have to say.
It's isolating, too.
Yeah. But I don't want to complain about LA and the traffic, because that's just so boring. And
cliche.
It's so cliche. I mean, the traffic sucks. The weather's great. It's so boring.
All the famous people I know. Gross.
I hate that I say that. I hate that I'm even saying that out loud. Exactly. so here's another one. Another Sex in the News story. Struggling to meet the one? Why don't you marry yourself? A weird phenomenon takes off where you pay $300 to put a ring on your own finger.
Who are you paying this money to?
Some company. I Married Me Kits. That's what it is. So you get 7 affirmation cards to remind you daily of the vow to yourself. And if that's the case, look no further. Okay, it's a $300 kit you can get married to yourself. It's a box. It's a bizarre invention of a married couple,
mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Levin and Bonnie Powers, based in Los Angeles, of course, who say they designed it to bring more love into the world. For just $300, anybody can ensure their own happily ever after by marrying themselves with this kit. So you get little rings, okay. I guess one ring, and you have a small party. I just want to register somewhere. That would feel good. Can you register? Anyway, I guess. But it's, you know, I think that says you might not want to get married, and people want to just marry themselves. That's fine. I've heard about this before.
I will say this. I think this sounds kind of silly. But I do like the idea of being, of course, because like, I want a blender. Who's gonna am I going to get a blender if I'm not I'm not into marriage? But also for, because I fall into this category where I tend to prioritize my partner or my relationship over myself, which is codependence.
Right.
And so to have some kind of prioritization ceremony around putting myself first would actually be, now some people are really good at putting themselves first. Right. This wouldn't be for them. I feel like for someone who falls into the category of what I do.
Codependent, yeah. That would be a great category. Yeah. That would be a great thing to do. But you don't need to marry yourself. You could just do affirmations every day or meditate and tell yourself that you love
yourself.
Right,
but structuring it some helps.
Right. This could help some people. What does it say here? It says, I don't know why they did it because they're married, but people came, they said that they, I don't even know what. I guess I've heard that whole movement. Like on Valentine's Day, there was a woman in San Francisco who had like the whole, I don't remember. You might know her. It was like, It was like a Valentine's Day for singles. It was like some book she wrote a few years ago about just being single, which I love being single. People don't understand that. No, it wasn't Betty Dodson. It was like someone else. But I love being single and people don't really understand that. I don't think I want to marry myself. I don't want to marry anyone, but I certainly don't want to marry myself. But I do think about getting the blender because I'm like, God damn it. I've been to so many weddings. I've thrown wedding parties. I've been a bridesmaid like 6 times. Can I just register and be like, I'm not going to get married, peeps, but I do need a blender and I'd like some matching dishes. Is that so wrong?
Also, I feel like marriage, I mean, most people when they're marrying now, they don't need new blenders because they've already been living on their own for a while. And maybe they've been living together a while. Like that whole phenomenon just seems kind of...
It does seem kind of dated, right?
I just went through it and I hated it.
You hated it?
I hated it.
Why?
Because it's like you're having people buy you things that you know you're going to return because you need money. You don't need a blender.
No, you just want to be like, give me some goddamn, give me, here's
it's
my
It's like you have to get corporate
America.
Can
you just give me your PayPal account or something?
Exactly.
I think you can do that, like put money toward a cruise or put money
toward... Yeah, we did this thing called the honeymoon fund where the people could buy us stuff while we were on our honeymoon, which was cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That worked. But still, we got the blenders.
Pay for the house. Did you have an extra one? Because mine just
broke. No, I took them back. I took them back to Bed Bath & Beyond, and like, I returned like 98% of everything we got because we were broke after the wedding.
Right.
You know? Weddings
I'm
cost
sure.
a lot of money.
That's another thing.
And I felt really bad because like, the manager of Bed Bath & Beyond, she's like, do you have a problem with our store? You're returning everything.
You're like, no, I'm just broke. I'm just broke. We have no time for smoothies. We just need to pay the rent.
Exactly.
So we're not using the blender.
Screw blender. I want a Sibian.
I guess back east, everyone just does cash.
I want a Sibian too. The inventor of the Sibian, I can't remember his name right now, but he came to our sex school and spoke in San Francisco, and he brought the Sibian and he talked. He said, do you know about him? He's like older.
No.
He's like from Ohio. He's like 85 now, 90, and he invented the Sibian. He's a good-looking man, and he had talked to all of it. I don't just remember him being really – I could see him inventing the Sibian, but he's been with his wife for a long time, but he said he has been faithful. And he made the Sibian. Have you ever tried it?
Wait, he hasn't been faithful like he's been behind her back unfaithful?
No, I mean, apparently I don't think it's behind her back because he told our entire class when I was in sex school, but –
Is that the way he describes open relationships?
I guess so.
In old people terms?
I don't know. Maybe. Like, I wasn't always faithful, but now our relationship is really good. But do you really want to try the Sibian?
I do, yeah.
I bet you couldn't be. I feel like we should be able to do that.
Right now, is there a Sibian in this room?
No, but there should be. If we were in the Howard Stern studio, we could.
Probably. I mean, for me, it's probably not a public event.
Right. Oh, right. I see. What's your favorite? Would you use sex toys?
Sex toys are important for, Wait, why? Is this a trick question?
No, I'm just curious what you like. What kind of sex toys
you
like?
I know. I got back on a Hitachi Magic Wand kick.
Yeah.
But then I went down to a Mystic Wand, which is its little brother. I really like that because it's 3 speeds. And
yeah, I like the Mystic Wand.
Yeah, it's
great.
That's good. But like my fave, like when I remember to charge it, is the Juju Mimi. Do you know it? Wait, what?
No, you don't understand.
What?
I'm obsessed with the Juju Mimi.
Oh my God, girl. No way.
No, I talk about it on the show every week that I'm always embarrassed and I'm like, I should get a new favorite. I talk about it all the time. I love the Mimi. They have a new one, the soft.
Really?
Yeah, the Mimi soft. I mean, it's not that different, but it's, don't you love it because it's powerful? You can use it during intercourse so easily on your clitoris and when you're having sex with someone and alone.
It's a simple, perfect design.
It's the most perfect vibrator.
And that motor. That motor.
And it lasts a long time.
It does. Well,
but then you forget to charge it, and then it days away, and then you want to use it, and you're like, fuck, it's not charged.
Where,
so that's why I love batteries. Good Vibe. Okay, go to goodvibes.com. Everybody, thank you. Use coupon code Emily, and I believe you get like 20% off.
And what's it called?
Good Vibes?
No, the vibrator that you guys both love,
oh,
apparently.
Good Vibrations, goodvibes.com. It's called the Mimi, M-I-M-I. You just got to search for Mimi on Good Vibes.
It looks like a pink massage egg, basically. Or a massage stone.
Yeah, a massage stone. It looks like a smooth
large
stone.
Pebble.
Like the size of a fist?
Like a skipping stone.
Like a skipping
stone.
Okay,
there we go.
Like a river rock. A small river rock.
And it's soft. And it's amazing. So it's just, I just feel like it's great for when I'm alone, whatever. You can leave it out on your nightstand.
You
I love
sort of
that you said
the
Mimi. I got to tell them. I'm going to have them send you some toys. Do you need some new?
Tell them, yeah.
Do you have the Fifi?
I don't have relationships with toy people.
You don't?
I mean, like I say
we
hi
need to
them.
Talk after. Do you
I'm
know,
really
do
bad
the,
at these
do
things.
Do the Jeju Fifi? It's the rabbit.
I don't have their Fifi. Le Fifi?
The Fifi. You have the Mimi, but not the Fifi?
No, merci.
We're going to talk about it in a minute, but let's take a call.
Okay.
We've got a relationship, a call from Emily in Virginia. Okay. We're working it out. She's got a question about introducing kink into relationships, which is perfect.
Stop it.
Because sex nerd Sandra just taught a class on BDSM. Where did you teach it?
The Pleasure Chest. Just down the street.
Right. And then you taught two classes in San Francisco, which I'm so bummed.
Yeah, I was just
at
Good Vibes. I just actually was at the Good Vibes in Brooklyn, too. In Brooklyn? Or not Brooklyn. What am I saying? In
Massachusetts.
Boston.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've got a Brooklyn
right.
store. Yeah, it was great.
Was like, it?
Yeah, I'm all up in their business.
Love Good Vibes. Yeah. I bought my first vibrator there when I was 22. Like, aww. I have like a full on, like, my walked into the store. I'd never had an orgasm. Like, they walked me through it. I felt so safe. Like, wow. I wanted to, like, cry in her arms. Like, I went home with the G-Spot book. Like, the whole thing. Like,
wow.
For years, I've been, like, obsessed with Good Vibes. So, I just, I love them. Okay. Yeah, she there, Emily.
Hi.
Hi, Emily. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily.
You're
on. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. Do you have a question? It's myself and sex nerd Sandra here. We'd love to talk to you and help you out.
Yeah, I actually had a question about, I just got out of a long-term relationship and I was looking back into the dating field and wondering what your advice would be on getting, like, how to introduce kink into a normal, like, new relationship with somebody you're not quite sure how they feel about that situation.
That's a really good question. I'm going to toss this to Sandra.
Well, first of all, let's define kink. Because
right,
kink,
that's true.
For some people, I mean, does that mean spanking? Does that mean talking dirty? Does that mean just
not
like a pony?
Everything from light to heavier, from, like, spanking to gender role play to, like, the works.
Okay. Are you a fairly advanced player yourself?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And are you dating someone who you haven't broached the subject of the fact that kink is a...
I am not. I'm talking to somebody, and I was kind of wondering how to approach the situation.
I see. That's really good. So... I would say, I would think that you would just, have you slept with this person yet or you just started dating them?
Oh, not even dating. Like just talking, but talking seriously and kind of exploring the situation and kind of wondering how to bring it up in a sense.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I've got it.
She's got
okay.
it. Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. What about like media references? Like, oh my God, have you been watching Masters of Sex, which is a lot of fun? Or like... Right. You know, our favorite movies, Secretary. Now there's a big bone to throw somebody.
Exactly.
I mean, and just see what, like, oh, Secretary, what's that? And you can describe it. Or if they're like, I love that movie too. You can be like, oh, and then know that, you know,
exactly. I always think third party references are a great thing. Like, but you haven't met. So are you going to explain this to me? Did you meet this person online and you're just emailing back and forth? I'm trying to understand this relationship.
It's actually an old coworker, and I transferred out of the job field, so it opened up a option to kind of explore said feelings and emotions towards that situation.
Okay.
So
I would. And what kind of, are you having like deep introspective conversations with this person all the time? Are you guys talking about things like this, or is it more on like a superficial level right now, and you're waiting until you see each other?
A little bit of both. We're kind of like I've expressed like my interest in the field, but not necessarily specifics towards it or how hardcore I get into it.
Right. Okay. I mean, I think that it's just like to talk about, you could ask him, like, what do you have any fantasies or like, well, you know, what's the craziest place, you know, you've had sex or do you have any, I mean, if you guys are talking about this stuff, you can ask him for his fantasies. You could say, is there something you've always wanted to try? I mean, have you guys talked about this, like porn, if he watches porn or masturbates or anything like that, have you gotten to that level?
It's fun.
Most of the conversation we've had has been very light towards his end. Like, his experience seems to be more towards just the lighter side of kink, like spanking and hair pulling and things like that, but never, like, anything really harder, like gender role plays, things right. of that nature.
Well, gender role play is definitely a deeper side of the, yes. the pond, and that takes a lot of trust sometimes, especially when you're exploring like more taboo right. things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably are these non-negotiables for you, where you need to have a partner in your life where gender play is something that you need?
I mean, not necessarily these where it's a do or die type situation. More so, there needs to be some form of exploration, but not necessarily in that category specifically.
Well, then I would wait until you're with this person, and then I would let it evolve. I think it's good. You said that you did talk that you're into like light spanking, and you've mentioned that to him, you said. Did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would just wait till you're with him. I mean, when are you going to see him? I don't understand all these people who have relationships like online or whatever, and you haven't seen him yet. Oh, the phone just hung up.
I'm still there. Okay. See him again after the holidays.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't talk about the gender. I wouldn't get into it too deep right now. I would start to have a sexual relationship with him, and then it might be easier to bring up. I mean, unless it's a deal breaker for you, which it doesn't sound like it is. I would wait until you're intimate with him and see if he's someone that you trust and you connect with sexually before getting into all of it. But I think that you can mention some of your fantasies or some of the things that you like. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think as far as, because the other thing is he might not really get gender role play. He might be like, whoa, but if you guys become intimate and you start to explain it to him or you share things or you listen to a podcast about it or you read a book or watch a movie together or something, he might get into it. But if he doesn't know yet, it could maybe be, disturbing. He might not understand it.
Yeah, I mean, if you two are shopping for just a kind of a hookup relationship, cool, and maybe Google yes, no, maybe list and, like, go down a whole series of random sex acts and kind of see which ones you both are yeses,
I
no's, maybes.
I love the yes, no, maybe list.
Yeah, it's really handy. And it's
so
fun.
Handy. I think every couple should have the yes, no, maybe. Like, I think that's a great idea. It's like, oh, I found that. You could say your friend gave this to you. You could say, look what my friend just emailed around to new partners. Let's play this game. I think that's a great idea and be like, would you ever, whatever the questions are, would you ever want to be blindfolded? Would you ever want to be, you know what I mean? Yes, no, maybe. And then there you go.
Yeah.
And it's a little game. Say, oh, look, my friend just sent this to me. This is funny. Or you could also send it to him. Be like, what do you think of this?
No, it's a great idea. Yeah.
Well, there, we came up with it.
We did it.
People with similar interests. So it's kind of a new door to open to somebody who hasn't necessarily experienced and or explored in that category.
Right.
So.
Number one, communication. He's also proving himself to you by showing if he can talk about these things.
Exactly.
If he's just quiet as a mouse, it's like, it's not going to be that helpful.
And if he freaks out, he's like, oh, no, 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 that's not for me, then you might want to just terminate it now.
Right, right.
If he's not into anything, like if he's not open to it, if he's like, I'd never do this or that, then that might not be the guy for you.
You deserve better.
You deserve what you want.
Lack of openness is definitely a deal breaker for me.
Exactly. Of course. You need someone that you can talk to this stuff about, so... Well, good luck to you, Emily. I think that we've got some good ideas
here.
Thank
you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye, Emily. There's so many Emilys in the world now. Do you know that's been the most popular name for the last 15 years?
I did not know that.
Not the last 10, but before, not the last 5, but before that for 15 years, Emily. So there are always little Emilys running around. Just an FYI. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Yeah, but when I was growing up, no Emilys in the world. I was the only Emily in my class.
You were the front of the wave.
I truly was. We have another call, which is amazing that
popular
people are calling.
Popular times.
We are so popular. And it's a BDSM call.
You guys, you naughty monkeys.
Crazy people want to talk about BDSM, which you did teach. Do you teach classes often around here in Los Angeles, everywhere?
I teach private classes, like workshops and things. I go up to San Francisco on the East Coast, wherever.
Okay.
Wherever people want me to talk about these things.
They want you to talk everywhere. Okay, let's take a call from B in Delaware. Hi, B.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? You're on Sex with Emily.
Hey, is it Sandra?
It's Sandra's here, too. I'm here with Sex Nerd Sandra.
You get two of us.
It's awesome. I just want to say that you are awesome, and I always listen to your podcast, and it's amazing. You teach a lot, and I love it.
Are you talking to Sandra or Emily?
Sandra.
You're talking to me?
Sandra.
Yeah, Sandra.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I wasn't sure. There are two people here.
He doesn't know who the hell I am. He's one of your fans. I love it. Hi, B.
Hey, I just have to tell, like, I always listen to Sandra's podcast, and I don't know who's Emily. I have to start Emily. And I just, like, they said I have to ask a question, and, like, I just wanted to ask you first tips about...
He just wanted to call and say hi, but now he had to come up with a question. Oh, B, that's so cute. She wants to talk to you. Okay, what's your question? We can help you.
What's that?
We can help you with anything. What's your question?
I was just like asking the first tips, like how to start BDSM and all this stuff.
How to start with BDSM in a are you in a relationship?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Five years.
And have you ever explored BDSM?
No.
Oh, you're just getting started.
Actually, I probably never talked about it.
Oh, well, this is a big first moment. Well, I'm glad you're talking about it. And Sandra just taught a class on it, so she's going to tell you how to get started with it.
To find out like how to start, like how to, it's like, you know, just spice it up.
Well, just like we were talking in the last caller, which I realize you didn't hear.
Right, because we're not live. But Googling, we did just talk about it.
I think you can go to my podcast. I think you can go to my website, sexnerdsandra.com, and just Google yes, no, maybe. And each of you put each sex act into a yes, no, or maybe column, so you can figure out what's yay or nay for both of you. It's great that you're asking this question. First of all, BDSM stands for six things. Do you know what those six things stand for?
I kind of know, but like it's one of the things, like it's kind of out of my might of range, I would say, like how I can go far, like it's kind of too far for me, but it's to start something new. It's always like I was thinking about it, let's say.
Okay, well, she's going to explain to you the six things that it stands for.
Yeah, it's like choose an area. That's one thing you can do is just, I mean, because you've got like, if you and your partner and you've been together for 5 years, maybe do exactly what you do.
More.
Like do exactly what you already do in the bedroom, except maybe if the B, which stands for bondage, interests you, just incorporate 5 minutes of tying each other up. Like you tie them up for 5 minutes and then switch. Like it can be as simple as that.
Exactly.
It can be like who gets to call the shots for 5 minutes. Like that's all just to start.
Uh-huh.
You know, if the discipline... If discipline,
the D,
then maybe somebody likes to be punished, you know, maybe likes to get away with stuff and like try and break the rules, and you gotta be like, no, and then over the knee spanking or whatnot, and that, you know, and there's impact. Like it's kind of, do you want to do psychological stuff or physical stuff? And you just sort of, that's the first question, because you have a lifetime of exploring BDSM.
Right.
Just get some cuffs and...
Get some cuffs or some bondage tape. I love bondage tape. Have you ever used bondage tape?
Yeah, it makes amazing tube tops.
Oh, it does make amazing tube. It makes outfits.
I have to start with that then, I guess.
Oh my God, it's like $10. You go to goodvibes.com, use coupon code Emily. You get it. It's like, seriously, like $12. And it's this tape that sticks to itself. And you can easily blindfold your partner, blindfold, put your wrists together. I just think it's easy because you don't need cuffs and the whole thing. And you can leave it by your bed. It looks like electrical tape. And... you could just start with, you know, I think blindfold is a great way to start too.
Yeah, that's true. No, just a blindfold.
One cent, just like, you know, taking away one sense, like of your partner, be like, honey, tonight I'm going to blindfold you. And then you, you know, start playing around and see how it goes.
Yeah.
See if she likes it.
Yeah.
Okay.
BDSM, the two like highlighted things are playing with power and playing with sensation. And if you already know your partner's body pretty well and you just want to add something, like, yeah, a blindfold makes every other sense light up.
Exactly. Every other sense will be tingling and happy. So you could start with that.
I can't say that I can complain that how like our relationship goes, like in a complaint saying it's in about the bed, but like, I just like, I was thinking like to like explore some new, like, you know, areas or in the bed, like, you know, which can explain. So like, my thing is like, is there somewhere like I can say, oh, like, I don't know how to start it with, like, you know, like, I can't say that I don't like something. I like everything, but I want to try something new. Like, so where should I start at that point? Like saying like, oh, like,
well,
I want to try this thing, new thing. Like, I don't know if she's going to like it or not.
Okay, how about the yes, no, maybe? I think that's so smart. But
also just sounds like you are in a relationship where you're really happy. But if you're saying that everything's great, that sounds like everything's kind of okay. Because you can't say everything's great. You've got to have some favorites.
Yeah, I can't say like everything. But like it's at the point where like I can't say that I can complain that it's bad. Like it's good. It's like it's...
But you need some variety.
Yeah, you need some variety. And she might want the same things, but it doesn't sound like you guys have great communication around your sex life. So,
okay.
And it's really hard. If you've been some 5 years, so all of a sudden be like, so, babe, what'd you think of our session last night? It's hard to bring up event. It is hard to start that dialogue. So, I mean, have you guys ever talked about sex?
Yes, we do. Like, but, like, I would say that it's, like, at the point where, like we cannot, like, talk too, like, go deep into it, like, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. it's like where, like, it's lots of things go, like, to the point where, like, oh, it's good. Like, we both kind of enjoy it. And, like, why we should talk about it. Like, you know,
right.
I really
you enjoy it, but
talk,
you
but,
need
like,
to, yeah,
point,
I think
like,
it's...
I can see the barrier where, like, oh, that's good. Like, well, let's don't talk about it.
Look, the best time to talk about sex is when you talk about the good things. Like, if you're never talking about sex unless something you want to change, that means you're not talking about sex enough.
Right.
Because for every one negative thing you say in a relationship, you should say five positive things.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, I don't want to get anything negative into the relationship. Like, I just want to add to it, like,
so why
positive
don't you,
things.
I would just say, like, have a great conversation about it. Next time you're on a road trip together or breakfast. I mean, just say, you know, hey, you guys have been together 5 years. You could say, okay. what's your most memorable time that we've had sex together? Your favorite sexual
yeah.
memory of us being together. And see what she says. She might say, God, okay. that time we had sex on the balcony. And you'll be like, wow, really? Okay. Or she might be like, that time that, who knows? I mean, that could be, that's a great way of starting a dialogue. And you could
yeah,
say,
like,
well, would
you... I can say the one thing, like, you know, it's sometimes it's the point where she might, like, you know, say, oh, wait, let's do something, like, really crazy. I was like, oh, that's, like, too crazy. I'm like, it's, like, where my point can be, like, oh, it's too crazy. I can't do that.
Wait, she but said...
Like, wait, so she's saying that something's too crazy.
It's like, completely... sometimes I think it's, like, completely too crazy.
But you're thinking this, but she's never said things are crazy. You're just assuming.
Like, my point is, like, you know, I want to start a little slow, but, like, it's...
Okay, so you're afraid you're going to go too deep, too fast.
Uh-huh.
I think the first step is communication.
Yeah. You got to just start slow.
And expanding your sex life is not the same as talking about negative things. Like, just opening up to different, like, oh, this is neat. What? Go and watch Secretary. Watch Masters of Sex. Seriously, these
Masters
are great.
Masters of Sex is amazing on Showtime. Watch a new series together. Watch a television show. And then you get, it's like a third party. Or listen to a podcast okay. together when you're driving. Like, listen to Sex with Sandra. Listen to Sex with Emily. I'm kidding. I mean, I hear from my listeners all the time. They're like, oh, my girlfriend and I were driving and we listened to your show. It's like, blame it on us. We suggested it. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, bring some things into the relationship that if you're not as comfortable saying it, you could, yeah, watch Masters of Sex. Watch, you know, talk to her about her favorite sex memories or fantasies or anything.
Or 50 Shades of Grey.
50 Shades of Grey. Did she read 50
yeah.
Shades of Grey?
It's kind of hard, but, like, in the meantime, it's just, like, it's the point, like, you know, we are, like, kind of, like, we kind of talk about the stuff, like, but, like, in the meantime, like, I don't feel like, you know, it's, like, I don't want to look like, you know, oh, I don't like it, and I want to add something more. Like,
well, you shouldn't be, baby. I love our sex life. I think it's amazing, and I just feel like we've been together 5 years, and there's just, there's so many things that I think we could do. And then you can have an example. I'd love to, you know... I'd love to give you a full body massage tomorrow night. I mean, something that you don't have to be like, I'd love to, like, bend over my knee and spank you, but you could be like, I love to massage your body all over. And then you could use, like, a massage candle, which is an amazing, I gave Sandra one. I have one, EmilyandTony.com. Have you used it? Do you
yeah,
like it?
It's really nice.
It smells, it's like oil. You pour it. I mean, that might be a little too much for the first time, but it's like, just get some massage oil even and just use it on her. I think you got it. You just got it. You know what, B? I think you just have to do one thing. Because in your mind right now, you're like freaking out that she's going to be upset
totally
or it's going to be
yeah.
too much. Just start slow and just say one thing.
Okay.
What's the best for your most favorite memory of us having sex or our hey, most sexual memory?
Hey, remember, team fun. Okay? Sex is fun.
Sex is fun.
You're on the same team.
As always, go team fun.
Go team fun.
I just want to say, guys, thank you, like, to spending time and explaining.
Yes.
And I just want to say again, one more time, I kind of still have to say sorry for, I don't know, who's Emily?
I don't care if you know who I am, as long as you're Sandra, it's fine.
Why does he keep saying that? I don't know who B is, and I'm not apologizing
I don't know
for
you,
it.
B. I'm not apologizing. I don't know who the hell you are, but we're so glad you called. Have a great night. Good luck to you. Funny, one of your fans, but I hope we helped them there. People, that's interesting. Both calls were about, like, how to introduce us into the relationship.
I think this is important.
It's so important. People need to talk. They just don't talk.
Yeah,
I'm guilty.
Preliminary.
I've done it. Not anymore. I feel like it would be, like, sacrilegious now if what I do for a living. I can't, but definitely didn't always talk about sex. Like, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, to me, getting into BDSM without proper, like, just a baseline of trust and communication in your relationship. It's like trying to get to grad school without going to college.
Exactly.
First. It's like,
you can't just start with the
slow
yeah.
down, partner.
Exactly.
Slow down.
Exactly. You can't just, like, go crazy and start there. But I want to hear about your 6 points of BDSM.
Oh, well, no, it's just, what does BDSM stand
well,
for?
I know, like, before bondage.
Oh, bondage, discipline,
right?
Sadism and masochism, right? So you've got, the first two are pretty self-explanatory, and the other two are the giving and receiving of sensation or pain.
Right.
But then the middle letters, DNS, are dominance and submission. So it's the power combo right there. So it's actually six.
Right. It is actually six. Condensed. I love it, right? I love that. Yeah, I haven't heard that. That's amazing. Okay. She's an expert. she taught a class on it. Okay, we'll take another call because we were getting calls. I love this. Remember, every Thursday night, 8:30 to 9:30 Pacific Standard Time, 1-800-LOVE-191.
That's great.
So let's talk to Daniel in Ohio. Hi, Daniel. You're on Sex with Emily. With Emily and Sex Nerd Sandra. Hi.
Hey.
I saw your Facebook post, so I decided to call.
Awesome.
Social networking works.
Yay. Hi. Yeah.
Okay, my question. I'm wondering if it's fair to keep dating my boyfriend, even though I know he loves me a lot more than I love him.
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a great question.
How long have you been together?
We've been together for just a month, but I know he's the closest best friend I've had so instantly that I'd rather just keep him around because I'm in college and I just don't want to deal with another breakup.
Oh, that's not a good reason to stay with him, though.
Wait, sounds like a lot of heavy, like, so within a month, you know that you don't want to continue being with him, or is it just that you feel bad that even though you like being with him, you like him less?
It's like, I don't know, I feel like I've been going through relationships where, like, I instantly pick out something and go, oh, they're not for me, and I just move on, and I'm just tired of doing that, I guess, and I'm like, can I just stick with it and not have to deal with questioning everything?
Wait a minute.
And breaking up.
Are you the person who breaks up with someone over and over again?
Yeah.
Well, not with the same person, but...
Well, this is like a serial, like you just go relationship to relationship and yeah, each time
I
break
end up.
Up
doing that. But I've had long-term relationships as well, 2 years at once, so...
Okay. And it's usually because something about them you don't like.
I usually pick out something that I don't like and go, eh, that won't work, and then I end it.
Is it something...
And so this time I'd like to stick and just be like, you know what, maybe I should just stay with this and not... So...
And you're 20 years old?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're in college?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I understand that the thing of wanting to break your pattern and not wanting to, like, move through men and they love you more and all that. But you're also 20 and you're in college and you're meeting lots of people. So I don't know that this is the time that you should force yourself to stay with someone just to teach yourself a lesson if you already know that you're not into this person. I don't think there's anything wrong with not being in a relationship when you're in college.
Well, I also don't want to, like, I feel like I'm so bound down to studies, I don't have any time for dating either.
Right. Okay.
That is completely logical. Are you afraid of hurting him?
Yes. It's his first relationship, so that's probably why he's so lovey-dovey as well.
Right.
Oh, yeah. He's a baby duckling
exactly.
Right now.
He's all over your stuff. And you're kind of...
He's really, really sweet and all, but...
Right, you're not into it. So I honestly think that we think that we're helping, that we're prolonging someone's pain when we stay in a relationship for too long, but actually, the sooner you end it, you're actually doing them a favor, because then he can move on and he can live his life, and he's going to be hurt, but then he can find someone who wants to be with him. And
you think
so
I could talk to him about this.
Absolutely,
that would be the most responsible, wonderful thing you can do is at least bring it up. Even if you don't have the intention of breaking up at that conversation, the best thing you can do is try just having a conversation and speaking your truth. Are you strong enough to do that?
Yeah.
You know, that is
I think
a really
you could totally,
thing.
A lot of, you think you just have to break up and go, but you could talk to him and say, you know what, I don't know that I'm feeling the same way that you're feeling right now. Not sure if it's right that we stay together. I still want to be friends with you. You know, see what happens. Talk to them. But the sooner that you talk, I know, and I've done this. Like, I've sat on relationships. I used to spend half my relationships trying to get out of them. And it used to be like a year. Yeah, I did that.
Me too.
In my 20s.
God.
I'm like, really? We're 20. Yeah, separate
from
birth.
From like age 13 on. Yeah. Was just
I did
a series
for a while too. And I've gotten to a habit of doing it like, okay, instantly.
Yes.
I don't feel good. I break up instantly because I'm tired of spending the whole relationship.
Well, that's better than spending 2 years with someone when you're not into it.
Now, I get a few red flags from this story, though, in that I feel like there's something presenting itself to you over and over again, which is a chance for you to learn about yourself.
Like
clearly, this
pattern?
Is something. Yeah, this is a pattern in your own psyche and your attachment. I mean, the fact that you've been with him for a month, what's your vetting process to decide to be with someone and then suddenly bond with them really deeply and they're really into you and suddenly be like, oh, never mind, you snore, you know,
right.
Or whatever it is, like.
That's a good question. That's a really good question. That's a good, Do you recognize your pattern?
You guys did a talk. I think you interviewed Emily and you were talking about patterns and I was thinking about, what's my pattern? So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
I've been thinking about that.
Now, I will say this. Are you in college right now, you said?
Yeah.
Now, the thing about humans is we like to see patterns where there are no patterns, and we like to not see patterns where there are patterns. So the best thing for you to do, honestly, is probably go to your health center on campus and see a counselor, you know, and maybe see them for a month or two, just once a week, and talk about this, because it's probably free or like five bucks or something.
Totally.
And it could be one of the best things you do for you the rest of your life is work this shit out now instead of waiting until you're 30.
I'm telling
like
you.
Like me.
Yeah, exactly. It's great to get stuff. The sooner you go in therapy and see someone, and it is cheap on campus, it's a great time to do it. And start looking at these things, because you sound very self-aware and you've gotten to a point. And I think you might, seeing a counselor could really help you. So
cool.
I think that'll be good. And I think start talking to this guy and just let him know how you feel. You'll feel so much better.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a great night. Thanks for calling.
Yeah,
Sex with Emily.
Bye.
Great hearing from you.
Bye.
So fun. Isn't it fun?
Oh, sweet.
No. We've got all these callers. We have another caller. We can take another call. I want to talk to you, but I feel like people are calling for us. We should help them.
Cray-cray.
Let's talk to Jen in Montana.
Hi.
Hi, Jen. How you doing? Thanks for calling. It's Sex with Emily and Sex Nerd Sandra.
I listen to both podcasts. I love you both. Thank you.
Oh, my God. We love you. Thanks
for
calling. High five. Woo! we are here together. We got to take some good pictures, too. Jen, what's going on? You're in Montana. I love Montana. How can we help you?
I have... Oh, bless it. sorry.
Aww.
When I masturbate, I like to grind on like t-shirts and stuff.
Okay.
And I'm having trouble trying to find toys for that because anything I find usually hurts.
Oh, so you like the softness of the t-shirt.
Yeah, but I was trying to find like a little bit more variety.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question.
When you say you grind on a t-shirt, is the t-shirt on the bed? Are you stomach down? Are you on your back?
Yeah, stomach down.
Your stomach down on a bed, like on... So are
bed,
you holding the t-shirt?
Couch.
And are you just, like, is it just you slamming your clit onto a t-shirt that's on the bed so that you're just pressing up against it? Or are you, like, lightly grazing the tissue, like, ooh, that feels nice.
I like variety. I like to roll my hips. I like to, tease myself. And then sometimes I just want it out of the way.
Are we talking cotton here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like jersey?
I mean, that feels really good, but maybe you could put a vibrator, just like even a little bullet vibrator or the Mimi, in your t-shirt and use that. Like, if it's the fabric that you like,
I've tried that, and it I usually end up with a bruise.
Oh, okay. So have you tried any other sex? Because, like, you want, like, a soft, feathery sex toy that vibrates, and I feel like sex toys, they're silicone now, they're a lot softer, but I'm not sure what would be...
I'm sorry, but if you're getting a bruise from using a vibrator, that means you are really, like, mushing your goods up against it, right? Which is great. I'm a musher, too.
Right.
I hump all day, okay?
Right.
But when you're with a t-shirt, are you pressing up against it real firm? Like, when you're getting closer to coming?
Yes.
Like, have you, okay, just throwing it out there. Like, have you tried just one humper to another, like straddling like the corner of a bed or the arm of a couch.
I've tried pillows. I've tried wedges.
Okay, you've tried the wedges.
And
how about a vibrating wedge?
I've never heard of a vibrating wedge.
Me neither. I'm looking it up right now.
Wait,
if there isn't a vibrating wedge, I'm going to invent one.
Do those work?
There are vibrating wedges. You know, like the sex with the Liberator makes all those furniture and stuff.
But where the entire pillow vibrates?
Yeah, it must. If not, we're inventing it for you, Jen. You'll be our first trial. Hold on a minute. There must be a vibrating wedge. That might make sense.
Just get a Jeep and drive down dirt roads a lot.
Okay, what's this? Knee wedge. Okay, I'm on Amazon right now. There's a knee wedge vibrating pillow. It's $19.99. I looked up vibrating pillow.
We fixed everything.
There you go.
Probably not.
But go to goodvibes.com, too. If you've ever gone to Good Vibes, use coupon code Emily. You get a discount. You get 15% off and all this stuff. But I'm going to Good Vibes because this is a really good question. Like, so you do the same way. I know a lot of women do. They grind. They're on their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to think of what. And then the Mimi didn't work. Or not the Mimi.
The vibrator didn't work. So the pillows. Did the pillows work? And the couch armchair?
Yeah.
Did those work? They did work.
It's just, I was looking for more variety.
Okay, so, but, I mean, you presented with t-shirt, but now t-shirt, pillow, and couch armchair all have worked.
Yeah.
But those all have give, where toys tend to not have that much give.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
there's, like, vibrating panties and stuff, I mean, but.
So you need something to grind. Now what about the Mimi Soft?
The Mimi Soft is great. It's a new one by Jeju. Look at me. Go to Good Vibes and look at the Mimi. And it just came out. I just got it like in the mail the other day. It's a little softer.
Yes. I just realized. Are those the only way you can orgasm?
No.
You don't know?
No.
Oh, what other ways do you experience orgasm?
Vibrator.
Vibrator.
Okay.
But then there's the bruising issue.
Huh?
But then there's the bruising.
Well, if I do vibrator, I can't grind on it. You know, I'll get like a bruise on like my pelvic bone. And...
But right. So you need like a soft vibrating toy.
Has she ever tried a penis?
How about a penis?
Have, get out of here, man.
Failure, honey. I'm self-serve at the moment.
She's self-servant. I hear you. I'm self-serving. My whole room is sex toys. Okay. So, and like there's the butterfly. Okay. So the butterfly kiss is another soft toy that I have. It's on the Good Vibes website. It's really soft. The butterfly kiss, it's a really good bestseller, and it has G-spot stimulation, and it's like really malleable and soft. It's not hard at all. I think you will like it, and it's really reasonable too. I just got a few of them in the mail. The butterfly kiss, it's waterproof, and it like moves out. Like, look at, I'm showing Santa this one, and it moves all around. Like, oh, yeah. You can bend it in a million different ways.
Yeah, the butterfly kiss.
Yeah, the butterfly kiss. It's like a butterfly. Think about it.
It's really cheap, too, and I've never had one, and I keep thinking, like, I need to get one of those.
Oh, my God. I'm sending you so many toys. Just come to my garage. My garage is filled with sex toys. I'm serious. How much is it? It's $18, and then you're going to get a discount if you put in coupon code Emily, I think. That's what I recommend. Now that I'm looking, it's not hard. It's soft all over. I've used it. I like it.
It is really soft. I'm just... So, pillow, couch, vibrator with the bruising, and a t-shirt. Are there any other things that you've experienced an orgasm with?
Men, women.
Right. Okay. Good for you. So, you're highly orgasmic.
Yeah.
And I hate you. No, that's amazing. I love you. All right. I think that's great. What'd you say? It's practice?
Practice.
Yeah. Have you always been like, were you one of these, like you were riding a horse when you were like 4 and you had an orgasm or?
No.
No. You had to work at it. I hear you. Well, that's good. I think
figure out who I liked first.
Right. Oh, right. And you like both, right?
Yeah.
Like you, I mean, Hitachis under anything are awesome.
Yeah.
Like Good Vibes also has Hitachis.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Put
Magic
it under
wand.
A pillow.
It's not Hitachi anymore. Did you know that?
No.
Hitachi is no longer, it's just called the Magic Wand. It's the same, but they don't, it's not Hitachi. Have you ever had a magic wand?
No. I have a rabbit.
Oh, you have a rabbit. Okay. The butterfly kiss looks like a rabbit, but it's much softer and squishier.
Wait a minute. Do you have a rabbit and then you don't put it inside you, but you just like hump it?
Yeah, because I couldn't figure out how to do both.
You know how many people buy rabbits and then never put inside their...
They don't, right. I know that too. They just use the little things against their clitoris.
Yeah.
It's like, why buy the... No, I get it. I do that too, actually, because I don't like my own. I don't insert things.
I don't like the little attachment in the front, but I like the base part for...
Right. Totally. I agree with you. Well, these are some good toys. Go to their website and check it out. But I think you should check that out. And I love that you're exploring. That there's so many ways that you can orgasm. You're my hero, Jen.
Way to go.
Thanks for calling. It's so good to talk to you. And thanks for listening to both of our shows. We appreciate it. It's so
yeah,
nice
thank
to
you.
Talk to you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. Have a lovely evening. Bye, Jen.
Bye.
Lots of great callers tonight. How fun.
Wow, I'm getting
you
excited.
Hot? I'm excited?
Yeah, but I'm like, this is fun.
It is fun,
right? I don't
right?
take callers.
I know.
So that's what this is like. I like it.
It's so fun taking calls. That's why I love doing Loveline as well, because it's just, you get callers all night long. And that's how I started on the radio. It's fun. I love talking to the people.
Yeah, and this studio is a much better sound equipment. I think the Nerdist studios, you know, like, well, no one takes calls at the Nerdist studios, so.
It's just, we're in a real, I've done it all. I've done it in a closet with my little recorder, and now I'm doing it at a studio. So it feels good, and I hope everyone can hear this okay. And subscribe to the podcast, Sex With Emily, and Sex Nerd Sandra, who's my special guest.
Hey.
Okay, so let's talk about what else, I mean, I feel like you can talk to anything. I wanted to get into a little bit more about, What were you going to say?
You know when people think that you can talk about anything, you're like, ooh, don't ask things that I don't know.
Well, no, because we emailed you. I was like, well, what do you want to talk about? Because I know. And then you were also talking about sex as being a single person. Pleasure for when you're single. But a lot of our listeners are single.
Yes.
And what did you have in mind with that?
Well, I...
Or just like celebrating the fact that you're single and
No, so. Nothing namby-pamby like that. No, I mean, that's important too, but...
Marry yourself. Did you listen to earlier?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
You could do that.
I think what hurts is that so much of the conversation around sex, especially like because we both podcast, is what to do with someone else. And then sometimes we'll talk about masturbation, perhaps. I don't talk about it as enough, I don't think. But beyond just masturbation, it's all these people who listen that call themselves sex nerds, that are the naughty monkeys, and who... really want to be good at sex, but they just don't know how because they're alone. And I feel bad because there's this like absence of access to a sex partner.
Right.
And I feel like so much of solo play is genital focused. And then sometimes when you talk about like waking up the body and like scraping your arms mm-hmm. and kind of just feeling tingly all over, people go like, oh, I don't respond to my own hand like somebody else's hand.
That's right.
But like, I feel like, have you ever talked to a therapist about sensate focus?
Yes. And I just remember studying it in school a little bit.
Yeah, it's, you know, like if I just run my hand down my arm. It's just a simple thing.
Right.
And I think sensate focus, you focus on pressure, temperature, and texture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for people who are so out of their bodies, like they're so in their head that they can't just be present to right. simple sensation. And so just being able to focus on my hand, on my arm, and all I can feel is that like slight ticklish sensation. My hands are a little clammy. It's a light pressure. That's all you're supposed to focus on. Just being in your body. I feel like so many people don't use their own hands on their own body enough.
Right.
And they just create this excuse that it's not the same. And it's like, I'm sorry, but you can do so much. I can tickle myself. And like, I'm not that sensitive. I mean, you know,
and because you always think like if someone else scratches your back, it feels better than you scratching your back, or someone tickles you, it feels, but what you're saying is with sense, if you really focused on it and you really paid attention to just that feeling of your hands moving up and down, that it still feels great to you.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to feel great. It just has to feel like something like, you know, when somebody runs their hand real light and it's just almost irritating?
I like it.
Oh, you like when it's real light?
I like light, soft touches.
No, yeah. But like even lighter than the light. Like
okay, too light?
Yeah, the too light touch.
I mean, I've been annoyed by people touching me, so oh. Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's annoying. Like I am annoying myself right now. I'm running my hand over my arm too light and I'm like, and then I just want to scratch it. Like,
right.
Oh. And then like, you know, like scratch one arm and then let go and just feel how one arm is more alive than the other arm. That's all I mean by like, really being central in your own body
right.
is it doesn't have to be like, ooh, I'm going
to touch
my nipples now.
Exactly. It can be like, there's so many different ways to, I mean, we have so many different erogenous zones on our body that we don't even know exist. Some people go through lifetimes. You're on your deathbed. You'd be like, oh, I didn't know that the back of my knee felt good. And then you feel really bad if you spent your whole life not knowing what else. Oh, she's massaging herself right now.
It feels
good, right? Touching your neck,
running,
back of your neck.
Yeah. The nape of the neck right there, just running it. It's like, soothing.
It's where all the nerve endings meet too. I mean, it feels really.
Yeah.
The nape of the neck is one of the most erogenous zones. That
oh, it's good.
Besides the obvious ones, the neck, because it's all the nerve ending. It feels amazing.
It's super good.
And I feel like people don't touch my like when I feel like when you're starting out with someone, they might touch your neck, but it's something that goes away eventually. And I would like my neck touched every single time I'm with someone.
Yes, I noticed that about myself. Is that I would. Play with, you know, the make out where you're not having sex yet, so you spend a lot of time making out
yeah.
and you're like necking and you're just licking their necks, and then all of a sudden sex happens and you've no longer.
No, they go right for your genitals. It drives me insane.
Right. But now I know, but like that's me as a bad lover. Like I would ignore their neck.
Oh.
Even though I would remember. So now I'm more aware of revisiting those erogenous zones.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But that was me schooling myself. I think everyone needs that awareness.
Right, exactly. And that you just shouldn't. And it's like separation of like foreplay and sex. Like I hate that there's even a separation. I think that we should always stick to the touching and the you know, feeling your partner in different ways rather than just rushing right to the sex. We had a call that turned up. Because then you miss a lot and you start to not know when touching your neck and kissing your ears and all that stuff that feels good, which kind of bums me out when that happens. So yeah, single people. I love it. I think that, I just like being, are you single now? You're dating?
I am dating currently. I'm
committed.
Committed. Yes. We talked about this being poly. It's complicated. It took a while for me to figure out my rhythm.
Right.
And my zone and what my style is. But I really enjoy being
polyamorous
with someone. Yeah,
my open seeing other people as well.
Not currently. I mean, honestly, it takes a lot of time and energy to date more than one person.
It's a lot of energy,
and
you got to remember who you told what story to.
And working on being authentic. I think right now in my relationship, I'm learning how to be really honestly myself, which is a scary thing. It's very vulnerable.
Right.
So
it is.
I kind of messed around and figured out the poly thing and like the styles but the time and energy I'm putting into my life right now is really into like,
right.
Cause I want to be my best, most deep, true self with one person before I don't want to spread myself thin.
That's how you got to start. Right.
Yeah.
But you know that you're open to polyamory, but if you're seeing,
definitely.
You've done it, but if you're seeing someone now, I think that's true. You work on it. Okay. We got to wrap this up.
Oh man.
I know. Doesn't it fly by? Time flies by when Sex Nerd Sanders here. So
that was a good time.
I know. Such a good time.
Yeah.
Sex Nerd Sandra, amazing podcast. Check out sexnerdsandra.com. And Twitter, Facebook, Sex Nerd Sandra.
That is correct. And you can go to Nerdist.com. I'm in the podcast section. Hey.
Hey, hey, hey. Check her out. She's awesome. And thank you for being here. I love it.
Thank you.
And everyone. So we talked a little about my candles, which I gave you. They're Emily and Tony. EmilyandTony.com. If you like the show, you support me, you like the show being free, you might want to go buy a little something. I've got a lubricant. I've got Down Under Comfort. It's a ball lotion for men, and women can use it under their breasts. And these amazing, delicious candles that you could use by yourself, pour it on your body like a massage oil, or use it on your partner, whatever it is. Check it out. And okay. And follow me on Facebook and Twitter, Sex with Emily Anderson. What about your podcast? If people are like movies and stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know what? This week actually kind of makes sense since we're on this show, as I talk about that movie Blue is the Warmest Color, which is a 3-hour French lesbian film.
Oh,
which
amazing.
I went and saw, and I review it on The Film Vault.
Another podcast. So for all you podcasters, we've just gave you a bunch more podcasts to listen to. So I think I'm up. Okay, Anderson, I'm good.
Oh, you ready for the music?
I'm ready.
All right. You guys heard about that Blue is the Warmest Color yet?
No.
Vaguely.
A lot of lesbian sex.
I love it. I want to see it.
Bright lights, buttholes. You can see the buttholes.
Amazing.
A lot of it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go see that after tonight.
I felt like I was Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver. Remember when Robert De Niro's character and he takes her to see a movie and it's a porn?
Yes, I do remember that.
I felt like Travis Bickle.
Right. That sounds awesome. Okay. Thanks, Anderson. Everyone, if you do check out EmilyandTony.com, use coupon code Emily and you get 20% off. So anyway, thanks everyone for listening to Sex with Emily. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. CrazyGirlProducts.com carries unique pheromone-infused products that make you feel sexy and confident. I'm crazy about their wannabe naked shave cream. It's made perfectly for your more intimate areas. No shave bumps or ingrown hairs. Use coupon code EMILY25 for 25% off at CrazyGirlProducts.com.